I trust that wherever you are, you will have your Bible handy. I would like again to read 3 or 4 verses of this wonderful book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. For those of you who are listening in for the first time, may I say that we are in the book of Ephesians, in the 2nd chapter, dealing with what we were in time past and what we are now in Christ. It's a wonderful thing to see the transformation from being a child of wrath into a child of God. Now allow me to read again from verse 7 of chapter 2, where Paul says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now this 10th verse especially, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We've been dealing with the fact that we are God's craftsmanship in verse 10. We are God's workmanship. We are the handiwork of God. We're not self-made men, as I said the other day, but we are God-made men. And that God today is doing a thing far more marvelous, far more wonderful than even his created acts. As we were quoting from the 8th Psalm, the 3rd verse, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the sun, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why should God look upon men and women living upon a little spot in the universe when he's got the whole heavens to occupy his attention? No, God is more concerned and more interested in individual men and women than he is in his creation. I wish in some way I could put this into words the way I feel, the marvel of this fact, that when you and I came as sinners, and by the grace of God, we accepted Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we immediately became the handiwork of God. And you know, when God starts a work, he always finishes it. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, the 6th verse, we read, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Or you go back to Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know that whatever God does, he does it forever. No man can add to it, and no man can take from it. And God doeth it, that all might fear before him. I say it's a marvelous thing. We are his craftsmanship. We are new men, new women in Christ. Thank God he's not patching up the old creation. He's not patching up the old man, which we received from Adam's race. But he's bringing into being a new thing entirely. I say the most astounding thing of all the creative acts of God is the bringing into being of a group of people called the church, called the body of Christ. They're redeemed. They've received eternal life. They're accepted in the beloved. They're joint heirs with Christ in the inheritance. They've been vitally, eternally, perfectly joined to the Son of God. This is the delight of his heart. What is God doing today? Saving society? Saving the nations? No, no. That's in the future for God's purpose. Today, God is interested in just you and me, in every individual man and woman on the earth. And his great desire is for us to receive his Son, and then we become a member of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, and we become his handiwork. He begins to work on us. And we are created in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You have to be in Christ to belong to this new thing. That's why Peter could say in Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is why Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You see, we belong to him. His handiwork. This salvation we have is started by God, is continued by God. is going to be completed by God. That's why Paul could say in Romans 8:18, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Or Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. That's why the Apostle John says, when we see him, we shall be like him. That's why Romans 8:29, God says he's determined that we shall be conformed to the image of his Son. We are his craftsmanship. I always love to think of what dear Brother Barker of the Evangelical Alliance Mission used to say when he said, and I've heard him say it so often, when he's speaking to God's people, he said, my dear friends, please do not criticize any child of God. You wait until God gets through with them, then start your criticizing. When God gets through with us, yes, when God gets through with you and me, we're going to be just like Jesus, conformed to his image. This is the purpose of God. We are his craftsmanship. We're not self-made men. We couldn't do this. You can't do it. God must do it. What he wants you and me to do is to come into his presence, into right relationship with him, and let him, by the Spirit of God, move in upon us and let him perform his purpose and power. It may be this morning I am talking to some Christians who are in affliction. You're discouraged. You're disheartened. It may be, perchance, you're in sorrow. You say, why? Why? And we begin to question God. Did you ever stop to think that all the tests of life, the afflictions, the misunderstandings, the sorrows, the heartache, and one could go on, these are nothing else but open doors for God to display his power, his love, his grace, his tenderness, his mercy. We open the door for God to manifest his power. You see, you and I, if you love the Savior, we're the objects of God's purpose. And whatever comes into our life is a part of that purpose, part of his handiwork, his craftsmanship. You remember that when Solomon built the temple, there were no sounds of saws or hammers in the temple. All that noise was down there in the quarry. Solomon's men quarried the stone, and they cut it, and they chipped it, and they polished it, and so on. They fitted it down there in the quarry, so that when it was brought up from the quarry, it had to fit into a special place in the temple. There was no noise in the temple. Now then, you and I have been quarried, if I can use the illustration, we've been quarried out of the quarries of sin and corruption and death. And he's taken us and he's given us a new life. And he tests us, he chips us, he grinds us, he's polishing us down here. What for? That he might fit us into the very place that he has for us in the Church of Christ through eternal glory. We are his craftsmanship, and that you and I are going to display through eternity to all created intelligences the grace of God, the wisdom of God, the wonder of God. We're going to be on exhibition. We are his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why I think of that verse in John 15. Do you remember where Jesus said, I think it's about verse 16, when he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. You see, this is it. You and I, when we're saved, we are in the hands of an eternal, wonderful God. And everything that comes into our life, if we love him, it's for a purpose. We may not understand everything God does. We may not be able to analyze or plumb the depths of what God is doing. But my friend, you can trust God. Everything he does is right. And whatever his actions may be to you and to me, it's because he loves us. And because he's working out his purpose in us. We are his craftsmanship. I want you to get this, just get right down into your heart. We are the handiwork of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Of course, in the book of Timothy, pardon me, it's Titus chapter 2, about the 14th verse, where it speaks of us having been redeemed. And then he goes on to say that we might be unto God a people for his possession, zealous of good works. You see, I prove my life, I prove my unity to the Savior, I prove the new life that I have in Christ by what I do, by what I say. People might say, you might be a Christian, but I want to see some evidence of it. And as someone has said so aptly, your actions speak so loud, I cannot hear what you're saying. In other words, your life, by your actions, by your words, by everything, even your very attitude, ought to reveal the fact that you belong to the Savior. You belong to Him. Now, I'm not asking you to do what somebody else may do. All I'm asking you to do is, you are His craftsmanship, and you let God work into your life. Be a yielded vessel to Him. A yielded vessel, so that when we're yielded to Him, He works in us and He works through us. Like you have it, for example, in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul says, you are the sons of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights, holding forth the word of life. Remember, the only place where God has a place to manifest His character and His love is through you and me. The Lord is in heaven, and you and I are His workmanship, and He's shaping us and moving us and working in us and through us. We might be to His praise and to His glory. You think about that today, will you? And the Lord bless you for His name's sake.